This is 103.1 FM, WVLP, LP.
Bit by bit, putting it together. Piece by piece, only way to make a work of art. Every moment makes a contribution. Every little detail plays a part. Having just the vision's no solution. Everything depends on execution. Putting it together, that's what counts.
And welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, a weekly program covering arts and arts events in Valparaiso and throughout Northwest Indiana. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
We are your hosts for Art on the Air. Hey, by the way, our underwriters for Art on the Air are Valparaiso Museum's Brower Museum. Wow, that's going to be a very convenient thing because we have the director and curator of the Brower Museum right here in the studio.
Curator.
And, of course, our landlord, Walt Breitinger. And if you'd like to find out more about leasing space in this historic building, you can call Walt at 219-462-5821. That's 219-462-5821. I'd like to thank both of them for their generous support. Thanks to Greg Kovach, always WVLP station manager, for keeping us on the air.
Absolutely the best.
If you're interested in being a guest or send us information about your arts-related event, exhibit, or appear as a guest or an artist, please email us at artontheair@gmail.com. That's art on the air, WVLP@gmail.com. Our program, along with all of our programs, are streaming, of course, live on WVLP.org, and Art on the Air is rebroadcast Mondays at 5 p.m. By the way, you can listen to every show that we've done, that at least Esther and I have done, since October at our show archive at BRCH.com/AOTA. That's BRCH.com/AOTA. Whoops, AOTA. The Arts Calendar,
the Arts Calendar.
The voice just went away there for a second. By the way, we also are carried on WIUN, IUN's Northwest Closed Circuit Station. And also at breck.com/AOTA, you can see our arts events calendar. Esther and I are putting up all the things we talk about today. That we're going to talk about, it's available there. So if you miss something or want to go back and find out, and I've also started to include the hyperlinks to the places that we do, so go there and do that.
You're the best, really.
Well, I try. Thank you
so much for putting that online. It's so helpful.
We like to do that. By the way, if you're listening to Art on the Air or all of WVLP, it's time always to, you know, we're a community-supported station. We depend on our listeners to become supporters. And also, if you're a business and you'd like to become an underwriter, specifically of this show, Art on the Air, or the station as a whole, there's underwriting levels of all the Esther and I would especially love you to be underwriters.
We would, really.
You know, we think this is an important thing that we give you here. So anyway, you can contact the station online at WVLP.org/support. That's WVLP.org/support. And maybe support us in whatever level you can. Whatever level can be 5, 10, or more, it'd be great because we can put that money right back into our programming. You know, almost all the hosts here are volunteers. So really, we put that back into what we're doing in terms of everything else and operating the station. And remember, I always say, don't be just a listener, be a supporter. And every week I say, don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good. And we hope you'll feel good about supporting the station. So I think we're ready to start with the arts events calendar, and I'm going to start with Porter County. And I have one thing that's kind of not arts related, but sad thing that happened. On June 3rd, the Allure on the Lake, which is a brand new banquet venue, which is right across the lake from where I live in Kesterton, totally burnt to the ground.
So tragic.
Troy Clark, who is the owner, just renovated what used to be called the Waterbird into a beautiful venue, and it completely. He also owns the Allure in LaPorte. But anyway, we wish Troy well. There's about $1 million loss. There's a total loss. But and all the brides that had weddings scheduled this year and even to next year. So anyway, just kind of a shout out to Troy. He told me personally, I chatted with him, he's going to bring it back bigger and better than ever. So good luck to Troy. So now we're going to move on to what we're doing. And you know what? This first item we're going to talk about more in detail, Valparaiso University Center for the Arts Brower Museum. You know, there we have Corey Hagelberg here, and there's no beauty new. It's going to be part of the collection. We're going to talk to him in more detail about his exhibit, so I won't go into it so much on the art calendar now. So he is here today along with Greg Hertzlieb. So we'll talk to them in more detail on the arts calendar, so there's no sense hitting it now. Village Gallery of the Pines, Kathy Loss Rathburn exhibit featured there through mid-July. July, and then after mid-July, some other guy is going to come in there with some photography. After that,
some guy, right?
Yeah, some guy is going to have a photography exhibit there. Anyway, she has called Regional Industrial Insights, and you're always welcome to visit the Village Gallery. She already had her talk, which I attended. She's going to have another talk coming up too in July 11th there at Village Pine Circle. And if you're familiar with Kathy Loss Rathburn's watercolor work, she has always worked in like more scenics out in the country and things like that. This is an all kind of industrial insights where she's going to Chicago, going to the mills, and it's sort of a different exploration of her for her watercolor. She has people in these, where many of her pieces before never really featured people. You have people in the streets of Chicago. You have the corner of the buildings and things like that. So it's a complete departure from what she's done for many years. So it's worth taking a look at Kathy Loss
Rathburn. Exciting dynamic when you go outside
exactly.
What you normally do.
Yes. Outside the box. Continuing at Chester Art Center, and I attended this, is the Dunlin Women's Art Club exhibit. Unfortunately, I missed getting it this year because somehow a big oak tree fell down my driveway and I couldn't even get into the one day to take it in. So it's still running through the month of June. It's a great exhibit. It's all a wide variety. I think they have 130 pieces in there, so it's well packed in there. So you have a lot to look at. We just passed this, but every Wednesday, Mark Vandervine does a art quiz Critique Night there at 7:30 every first Wednesday, so you can see that. Jennifer Martin, who is the children's instructor, summer art camps, there's still sign up there, and we won't go into all the details, but they have them for all ages, like preschool, after school, beginner, so she has that, so you can do that. And they're also started up their Monday night ceramics class, so you can call the Chesterton Art Center at chestertonart.com or call them. You can see them both on Facebook. Currently at the Art Barn in Valparaiso, their 26th annual juried exhibition will be running through the end of this month, June 27th, is original painting, sculpture, and other things like that. Art Z Fine Arts and Antiques, and that's the new little gallery in Chesterton. We've had them on the show. They're going to be doing an acrylic pour class Saturday, June 8th from 1 to 3, and you'll be using two canvases. Carrie Sokolsky, who's been there, is going to conduct the class, so you can contact them at Art Z Fine Arts and Antiques. There is a cost involved, 2 hours of instruction, and they have light sex. This class is going to be for 18 years and older. So if you're younger than that, you want to pour paint on stuff, you can't do it at that class. Dunlin Photography Club still has at the Red Cup Cafe for just a little bit longer their exhibit, and that's in downtown Chesterton. They have 62 pieces by 20 of their photographers, and that's just got a few more days left. They were actually supposed to end at the end of May, but they extended it through mid-June, so you can see that. And Kai Kentsofanoff still has her wonderful work of egg tempera art, very realistic, very traditional.
Oh, it's a gorgeous exhibit.
Oh my gosh.
All of them together. I've seen them, you know, in her studio and disparate places, but not all together as a collection.
It's tremendous. And it's really like part of the old masters. And she works in egg tempera. It's a whole different feel. Anyway, that's at the Ellen Firm Gallery on US 12 in Beverly Shores. So you can see that. So, well, I know Esther has a huge LaPorte County calendar. So we may not even have time for our guests by the time you're done with that. So take it away, Esther.
Oh my gosh. I will speak quickly. It's first Friday, June 7th. In Michigan City, but we're going to start with LaPorte. The Thaddeus C. Gallery, located in downtown LaPorte at 822 Lincoln Way, Rush with an exclamation point is their current exhibit. Gallery hours are 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Tuesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. Their telephone number, 219-326-8626. You can find them on the web at thaddeusc.com and Thaddeus C. Gallery on Facebook. Lubeznik Center for the Arts, Nature Versus Everything. The exhibit runs through June 8th, so these are the last couple days to see this magnificent exhibit. Features 9 contemporary artists in a new environmentally minded exhibit that explores the perilous battle between humanity and the natural world. There's also a large scale installation in the Susan Block Gallery on the second floor. It starts with an animated video of a charcoal-drawn landscape with its inhabitants and extends into 3 colorful dimensions so that the viewer becomes part of the art. Southern Shore Art Association, the gallery is located at 724 Franklin Street, and their new exhibit is Collected Expressions. It's the annual show with the Duneland Plein Air Painters. The opening reception is June 7th from 5 to 8 p.m., and the exhibit runs through June 30th. The gallery is open Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 12 to 5 p.m. Visit their website, SouthernShoreArtAssociation.com, or the Facebook page, Southern Shore Art Association. SFC Gallery. It's so easy now. I was like, that was my trip up word. is at 607 Franklin Street and is showing the work of watercolor artist Mary Vihan. Opening reception is June 7th. This is going to be a running theme for all the galleries from 5 to 8 p.m. This exhibit runs through the end of the month, and their website is sfcgallery.com and on Facebook, SFC Gallery. Blink Contemporary Art at 1709 Franklin Street. Artists do artists. Have you ever wondered who inspires or influences artists? They have a large list of artists who will be exhibiting, and this should be very interesting. Greg Hertzlieb has two pieces in that show, and they're magnificent. The whole show is brilliant. I thought the whole concept was excellent.
Really, it was awesome, fun.
The show will run through July 28th. Blink can be reached at 773-206-0426 or on the web at blinkcontemporaryart.com. Or on Facebook, Blink Contemporary Art. They will also be open June 7th, probably from 5 to 8 p.m. for First Friday as well. Rising Phoenix Gallery at 2803 South Franklin Street. They are featuring the new work by Neil Kenix titled Windswept. And this is brand new work for Neil. And it opens on June 7th with a reception for the artist from 5 to 8 p.m. and runs through June 30th. Gallery hours Monday, Wednesday, Thursday from 10 to 4, Saturday 10 to 6 p.m. and Sunday 11 to 4. The telephone number is 480-216-2583, and their Facebook page is the Rising Phoenix Gallery. Nest, located at 803 Franklin Street. First Friday, we have June 7th from 5 to 8 p.m., an evening with authors and the guitar music of David Kreiner. We have the authors of Saving a Century of Progress, Robin and Teresa, and Janice Buettner with her first novel, When Lilacs Bloom, poet and publisher Michelle McDonald with her collection of books, both the things that she has published and her own poetry. Lucia Verhaj with her book There's a New Dog in Town, and Harry Carrible with a collection of short stories. At 6 p.m. and throughout the evening, there'll be readings and discussions. I know Harry is going to read hopefully a couple of his short stories, and if we can encourage Michelle to read some poetry too, that would be so good. Sign-up sheet will be available for the formation of a writer's group. From novice to publish, all are welcome. On exhibit in the gallery is the photography of Joel Brussel, titled The Somewhere Else of Being Here. The images were taken within a 4 to 5 blocks of where he lives in the Michiana area, but have the appearance of being otherworldly. All the photos were taken with an iPhone 7, and we blew them up large. Ongoing in the Nest. Details are on our Nest Michigan City Facebook page. Mondays, we have oil painting with Michelle Weiser. Please sign up ahead. Drum Circle, June 14th and every second Friday of the month at 6:30. Don Wenig of Dancing Feet Yoga is the facilitator. June 10th at 6 p.m., there's a special program on climate change with the film Wisdom to Survive. And then there'll be a talk with Green Drinks staffer Dennis Britton and Sierra Club's Beyond Coal Northwest Indiana coordinator Ashley Williams, and they'll be speaking about climate change. Public is invited. Refreshments will be served. June 15th and every third Saturday of the month at 7 p.m., we have the Every Kind of Talent Show with Captain Ambivalent.
Da-da.
June 22nd, we have Halo Moonband and a CD release celebration for Jonathan Root's new CD, The Last Picture Show. That's a free concert, and a cash bar will be available. Friday, July 19th at 7 p.m., Nick Orbovich and the Chamber of Musicians will be having a mini concert. More details. July 13th, the Michigan City Downtown District Merchants will be hosting the soiree, an evening on the runway and after party at the Friendship Gardens. And July 8th at the Swale Music Fest in Michigan City at Westcott Park from 1 to 10 p.m. Get your tickets before Saturday. They're $15, $20 at the gate.
You know, it's too bad there's nothing going on in LaPorte. It's sad.
It's hopping. It's summer.
You know, with all the things going on around our county, so, you know, we really have to get LaPorte doing stuff more of the arts there.
I'll work on that.
I think you are. Well, you know what? We just have to reserve a whole section for the Nest by itself. It's a happening place. That's Esther's place if you haven't connected that. Now we'll move to Lake County, 119th Street Artists, Cornerstone Gallery. That's located in the back of the Centier Bank on 119th Street. They have a call for art for concepts and compositions. And that's the second to last exhibit they'll have. And they have one more exhibit in September, October with Sarah Pete Convey. And, of course, that's their last ones in, before they move out of that gallery. And we don't know what's going to happen with the group. It's they're lost their gallery space. We're hoping that they combine with the next group I'll talk about, Studio 659, also in Whiting. Their current exhibit is called Fandom, and it's cult classics, underappreciated things about fans, comics, whatever. They're located on 1413 119th Street in Whiting, and they're open Thursdays and Fridays from 12 to 7 and Saturday 10 to 2. You can find out more about Studio 659 at studio659.org. South Shore Arts in Munster. Registration continues for summer classes that begin on June 10th. So if you haven't signed up, little Billy or Sally, to take some art classes, they have a wide variety of things. You can go to their website. By the way, on Friday, which is tonight, they have the Beaux Art Ball, June 7th, called Rocket Man, One Small Step for You, One Giant Leap for Arts, on this Friday, June 7th. Begins at 6 p.m. Probably tables are sold out. I am going to the event tonight with Lakeshore Public Media for their Eye in the Arts. There's a recognition there, but you can still participate in it if you're not going by their online auction. So you can go, they have items that are already open. It's called online, it's called artsball.givesmart.com. That's artsball.givesmart.com, and you can start bidding on the items right now. The purpose of the Beaux-Arts Ball is to support the educational experiences for children and youth in their Every Kid program. So bidding is open to everyone. So, and if you're going to the Beaux-Arts Ball, hope you enjoy. I'll see you there. Bachman Gallery continues with Renee McGinnis, Tales from the Biosphere. That's going through open on June 15th, running through August 25th. They'll have a reception on Sunday, June 23rd, 1 to 3 at Center for Visual Performing Arts, South Shore Arts. And you can see the wonderful Midwest artist series that she does, Tales from the Biosphere. Her works are painstakingly painted, perfection in her romantic but melancholy style of structures, abandoned ships, eerie factories contrasted against vibrant flowers. In the Atrium Gallery, we're continuing Celebrating Birds with Kimberly Beck, Christina Kanowski, and Sue Galambas. That's going to be running through the middle of this month, June 16th. If you haven't seen it, get in there before they change the exhibit. Toll Theater in Hammond on 5202 Holman Avenue. Wendy Wilkin has Guardia Lamites Artes, which will run through June 20th. So if you get a chance to go to the Toll Theater, pop in there. You can see the work, or go there and see a show, too, at the same time. Miller Arts and Creative District, well, they're continuing, is taking exhibits from South Shore and featuring them. They're taking the Haunts exhibit and running that through July 7th at the Marshall J. Gardner Center for the Arts in Gary. That's 540 South Lake Street. And their gallery hours are Thursday, Fridays 12 to 6, Fridays 6 to 9, and Sundays 1 to 4. The Haunts, if you'd like to remind you, that was at the Center for Performing Arts Gallery at South Shore Arts Bachman. It's a retrospective of all the abandoned buildings and everything throughout the area. And the one that always struck me is the drone footage taken by Dennis Crane, photographer based out of Crown Point, of the teardown of the Star Plaza Theater and things. And it's just so moving to see the structure as it's coming down in various phases. Plus, you get to see the old Methodist Church in Gary and everything like that. They like to call themselves guerrilla photographers. I haven't quite done that yet with my photography things, but I'd like to go and explore some of these places they've done. It's just tremendous.
The things left in them are amazing. Leanne Davies has a few photographs in our gallery, and there's just like abandoned shoes.
Right.
Or it's like really moving.
It is. And it's kind of like you think about these places that were once a vibrant thing of whatever it was, whether it be a church or a building or something. some kind, and all of a sudden they're gone or going away, and it's just, it's kind of sad. I think about Star Plaza Theater. What has been there is now just not even a pile of rubble anymore. If you drive by there at US 30 and I-65, so anyway, that's at Miller Beach Arts. So you get a chance to see the Haunts exhibit again, running through July 7th. They also are doing some other things on June 15th. They have a comedy fundraiser. They call it their first annual. I always think they call it their first one. And what they're doing is they're doing a whole comedy in the region. And you can find out more about that actually at the website comedyintheregion, all one word, .com. Comedy in the region. It's going to run $6 to $10 on June 15th, about $30 to go. But it is a fundraiser for Miller Arts. And then on the 20th, they're going to start a third Thursday. And they're going to have Live on Lake Street with Nick Danger Trio. So, and they're going to try to have a third Thursday event there, try to pull in some things. And finally, South Lake Artist Cooperative, or as we all like to call them, Slack. They like to call themselves Slackers. They don't even have a Facebook page, but it's a loosely group of artists. I've exhibited with them. They're finishing their geometry exhibit in May at Wild Rose Brewery in Griffith. I think that's just wrapping up. And their next exhibit's at the Sip Coffee House in Crown Point, and it's called Texture. So that's what we have going on in Lake County. And again, if you'd like to be part of our arts calendar or whatever you'd like to do, please, you can go to Art on the Air, WVLP@gmail.com. Again, that's Art on the Air, WVLP@gmail.com. And you're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP, and you can listen to us streaming all the time, WVLP.org. Repeat it on Mondays at 5 p.m. And of course, you can hear us at our show archive, Breck, that's BRECH.com/AOTA. And our arts calendar is there now. So we're putting that up. I'm usually, as Esther sends me LaPorte, I get it up on Thursday nights. So
I know. I'll try to get it to you.
No, that's perfectly okay. I try to check the email one last time on Thursday to post it up there. So, well, we're so pleased to bring in our guests. One of the voices you'll hear has been very familiar, actually the former host on this show. He is the director and curator at the Brouwer Museum and all the other arts activities of Valpo University.
And a talented artist.
Well, yes, of course. We have Greg Hertzleave, yes. And from Valparaiso University. Welcome back to your seat there, Greg.
Oh, thanks so much, and congratulations, by the way, to both of you for the wonderful ways, the directions, and new horizons you've taken the show.
Oh, thank you. It's so
really
enjoyable.
Exciting. Absolutely, and just hear rave reviews from community members that listen, and have a lot of fans out there, not only for the show, but also for your own art efforts and gallery efforts. So, you know, it's great to be here and keep up the great work. You know, appreciate the opportunity.
Well, we appreciate you being here. Well, you know what? Well, first, before we get to our other guest, who is going to be the artist in your gallery, tell us a little bit about yourself. I know you might think you don't know it, but, you know, let's just pretend that the audience doesn't know who Greg Hertzleave is, and tell us where you came from initially. Where did you grow up?
Sure. Well, I'm a native of Northwest Indiana, and consider Chesterton to be my hometown. I ended up teaching at the high school that I went to. But this is before the new Chesterton High School. Now it's a Chesterton Middle School. When it was the high school, that's where I taught. And then moved on there to the Brouwer Museum, where I've had such a great time and so many wonderful opportunities at Valparaiso University. So I'm really grateful for it. I'm really grateful to be able to work with the facility that we have and the collection. It's a real treat. And I think that Dick Brouwer and Josephine Ferguson and any number of others did a wonderful job setting us all up with a really nice asset.
It is magnificent, and their continued finding of work is just phenomenal.
Well, yeah. And back to you a little bit. Tell us, so you grew up at Chesterton. Where did you go to college? And
well, I mainly went to I went to a couple different places, but mostly went to the Art Institute, School of the Art Institute in Chicago, and had a really good experience there. You know, really liked the school, school a lot, and the atmosphere, and that's where I studied printmaking. Printmaking is incidentally one of the things that your other guest today and I talk about a lot.
Okay.
Excuse me, we have that in common. And so, while I don't do many prints nowadays, I mean, just occasionally, mainly draw. I can't help but think that printmaking kind of lies at the heart of everything that
does.
I do.
You know,
oh, sure.
Graphic. And, but yeah, so, I mean, you know, just through the museum and through, you know, being an artist myself and just getting out in the community that I'm able to meet neat people like you guys or, you know, Corey here. So,
Very good. And tell us, just kind of give us a tip. It probably isn't. When people ask me this when I was doing theater directing, what's your typical day like as a director, yeah, curator?
Well, a lot of different things. I can't honestly say there's a typical day. At the same time, they're all kind of united in their lack of structure. And there's always, I'll have my entire day somewhat or fairly planned out when I drive in. And as soon as I get in the office, I've got to throw away all those plans.
Yes, because you received an email that changes everything.
Exactly. Right. So, but it's working with the collection. It's working with school groups. It's planning shows both long and short term. It's seeing to artist needs, for example, setting up Corey's show, and he might send in his biography, and so I'll go ahead and format that for the wall. Or if Corey were to call, we'd talk about logistics for getting his work transported, those kinds of things. So the typical day in that way.
Right. I understand. Well, I had the same thing with theater. What's your typical day like? You know, there's no typical
there
day.
Yeah, yeah. Typical
now, you're
day.
Also, before we move on to Corey, you also edited some books. Tell
right,
us a little
right.
about that.
Now, one thing we like to do with the Brower, in addition to hosting exhibitions that travel, we do that from time to time, we also like to put together exhibitions and then accompany those exhibitions with a publication of some sort. And those could range from, say, somebody that this is their first publication to maybe another contribution from our perspective on an artist that's already been somewhat chronicled in the printed material, like, for example, Watanabe. So it's just a matter of seeing to the visuals in the book, the pictures, you know, keep it on top of good quality reproductions and so forth, but then also... gathering some writers that would offer some interesting insights, and then making sure that it all comes together in a well-designed, edited thing. And it's fun. I like doing that every bit as much as I like working on shows, just because I think that people really enjoy having a product to take home or to refer
exactly.
to.
Right, and to have something more in depth than you focus a lot on. On regional artists.
And I'll tell you, you know, just to speak to that one point, you go into a museum and there's all this good stuff on the walls, and you're so excited by the time it's over, you want to take some home.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, can I have a souvenir of my trip?
Right.
Well, a book or a brochure or a booklet is next best thing. So,
I know, I'm always like moved by pictures of artists' studios.
Right,
they're
right.
just like, you really get a feel for... A greater feeling for their work when you see how they work.
Their inner workings and everything. Mm-hmm. Well, before we move on to Corey, poor Corey, you're still sitting here. Tell us a little bit about your own art. You're working now, I guess, more in watercolor.
Right. Watercolor and ink, and just working with this kind of quirky, surrealist style, but also kind of humorous in a way. And it's kind of autobiographical, but then also symbolic. I'm not even sure. I think it's just getting together a bunch of stuff that I like and seeing what happens.
Sure. Well, isn't that what the creative process is?
Yeah.
And you also dabble a little bit in photography. I see some of the things on Facebook that you've done.
Right. Yeah. I mean, like you were mentioning with Joel, who I think is a fantastic photographer, Joel Brussel. I mean,
but what he does with that iPhone 7,
yeah.
it's crazy.
Yeah.
And the dangerous situations he puts himself in to get those photographs.
I'm just using my phone, too. It's just so nice to have a camera in your pocket.
It is.
You know, you can always be creative.
Yeah, very
productive.
Good. Well, now, of course, that's Greg Hursley, who's the curator and director of the Brower Museum. But what he's done today is brought his current exhibit, which also includes Robert Lenting, which you had on the show, but Corey Hagelberg. And well, we'd like to welcome you to the show also.
Yeah, hello.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Oh, sure. Now, we'd like to get a little bit of your background, like where you come from and how you got here, I guess, would be the way to do it. Where are you?
Oh, man. All right. So... I was born in Gary, so I've lived most of my life in Gary, and grew up born in 1983, just to date me. I'm 35 years old, and I, as far as my education, went to school at Ball State University, graduated in 2002 with a degree in printmaking, so learned printmaking there. which is one of the main forms of art that I practice. And then I went back in 2010 to get a master's degree. I studied sculpture as an undergrad, and then I got a master's degree in printmaking, graduated in 2011. And in the meantime, a lot of what I've done also is I have a family business in commercial playgrounds, so a lot of my work sort of reflects that in a way. And in 2011, I co-founded an organization called the Calumet Artist Residency, and we do a lot of different kinds of community programming. We bought a couple abandoned houses in Gary and have invited about 35 artists to come and do various kinds of community projects in Gary and the Calumet region.
Like what kind of projects?
Well, all different kinds. So one of the earliest ones we did, we had an artist come, and he did an iron pour at the school next door. Mm-hmm. So we gathered up lots of recycled cast iron from scrap yards, old radiators and stuff, and then we actually gathered the fuel, which is coke, off the railroad tracks.
Right.
Where I live, you can walk up and down the railroad tracks. It's just kind of lying there. And we had somebody come in, and we made molds, and we had somebody bring a furnace, and we did an iron pour in Ward Emerson High School.
Wow.
Sort of our main project right now, which, you know, takes the majority of my current time, is called Gary Ecopolis, where we had an artist, a good friend by the name of Jeff Biggers. And Jeff is an anti-coal activist and a writer and a playwright and a poet. Sometimes you'll see him on, like, in Huffington Post and The Guardian or on Democracy Now! And stuff like that. And he goes around the country and he helps communities re-envision themselves as regenerative cities, as cities that can sort of feed and sustain themselves. So we created a production, a play, and I saw Billy Foster's name on your
paperwork. Coming here next week.
He collaborated with us on that, and we did a performance at the Progressive Church in Gary, where we helped the community to envision Gary in 2030 as a regenerative city, and Billy Foster was playing in the background, so we had jazz in the
beautiful
background.
Jazz musician who we're having on next week. By the way, you're listening to Art on the Air, WVOP and WVOP.org, and we're also streaming on Red Hawk Radio, WIUN at IUN. So that's a great project to revitalize these areas, you know, actually art getting into the community. And
that's how it always starts.
It always does. And mm-hmm. Well, look at what's happened in Michigan City and the arts district there. I mean, that's really revitalized that area, and they're trying the same thing in Miller, and Chesterton is much now approaching the same thing. They have this whole branding initiative, which includes an art component to it. So they're really trying to look to that. So now you've also got to new sculptor. You did that. So how did you? Let's talk a little bit about your work. How you came to some of your work, and before we get to the specifics of the exhibit.
Yeah, I mean, generally, you know, as kind of an umbrella term for what I consider myself, you might use the term social practice or a social change artist. So all of my work that I make, I try to have it act in a certain way in the world, and I consider it to be functional art.
What does that mean? To explain that, so.
So, you know, functional art is a term that a lot of people look at in a lot of different ways. I mean, you know, back when people were talking about modern art and during the course of modern art, people talked about sort of a separation between art and life. And that put functional art, such as ceramics and metalworking, jewelry, tapestries, quilts, in a different category, so people sort of categorize them differently.
It's true. They consider them crafts, and not in a kind way.
And not in a kind way.
Yes, there's many artists, we'll call fine artists, who regard that, and they say, oh, that's a craft.
That's right.
You know, Yeah.
But generally, a socially engaged artist doesn't make the distinction mm-hmm. between those things. They see art as kind of embedded in all parts of life. And so I think of my art as being functional, and I like using that term, too, because... it is so historically sort of undervalued, that term.
Is there an interactive component to it, or when you're talking about functional?
My work exists in different categories. I do printmaking, which is art on a wall generally, and there's not as much of a social interaction there. It's more of an informational thing. And but then when you do the community work...
Yeah, that's what I was referring to.
That becomes more more functional and more interactive. And so, like, yesterday in the last couple weeks, really the last couple months through the residency, we've been building a community garden the oldest institution in Gary, which is St. John's Lutheran Church at 10th and Taft. That comes out of this idea that we generated through the artist coming to our residency. So we had him come and kind of create this plan, and the process now is to really enact it. So we've been doing tree planting events at IUN, at Borman Square Park. And we've been trying to get community gardens going throughout the city of Gary. So that is very, very interactive.
And how has the community come out and supported?
Oh, absolutely.
Yay.
And you have to, with this kind of work, you have to figure out how to find organic leaders in the work too. It's not my work; it's everybody's work. So if that's not happening, the work isn't functioning well. So at the community garden we're building in the Tolleston neighborhood, there's a family of eight that lives across the street, and they have been looking for something to do, and the mother said she's been hoping for something, for a summer project for her kids, and that happened right across the street. Mm-hmm. And so every time I come out there, there's eight people immediately, and we've got, there's collaborations between two churches now that wasn't necessarily happening, so there's a really large energy around this garden, and that's the goal of
right.
it, is to kind of bring people out, to create that energy, to create food justice, because in Gary mm-hmm. we live, pretty much the whole city exists in a food desert. So, I use my art to try to bring a lot of these things together, and
And we're so isolated now. It's so wonderful when you can get together and work on a project together.
It's such a grant-worthy project. I mean, have you looked about pursuing grants or something like that?
Well, this work is supported, I should say, by the Legacy Foundation.
Oh, okay, so
Foundation. Yeah.
I mean, even from having us work
IAC,
on the project grants, the IAC project grants,
fit
I think
in perfectly.
It would be something they're looking for. It's kind of unique because it's really directly, a lot of their project grants really support the community. So that might be something you look into as the Indiana Arts Commission project grant. I think you can get up to $5,000 from that. And what a worthwhile way. What a way to make art influence the community and make a community better than what it was. Not just something to hang on a wall, but something that you actually live with in the community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it, you know, it we all become the creators of it. It's
right.
not an individual effort. I hope that everybody will become the leaders. Young kid, his name's Fats, and he was watching us for a while across the street, and now he comes across the street and he's sort of become a little leader. He knows all the plants, he knows how to go to the rain barrels and teach people how to use the rain barrels. And
it's wonderful.
In 10 years that will be his garden, and he'll be
sure.
And so that's the goal.
That's really neat.
Tell us a little bit about you, some of your other work experience. You've been an adjunct instructor at various places?
Yeah, I've taught now for 5 years at IUN. I've taught everything I teach art appreciation every semester, and then I've taught drawing, printmaking, foundations, different foundations courses. Sculpture, all the different sculpture courses there.
I want to backtrack a bit.
Okay, sure, go right ahead.
So you said primarily your beginnings were Gary, but then there was a time when you left. Was it wanderlust or was it like a directed, I'm going to go? Because I think I read that you lived in Europe for a while and you did a lot of traveling, didn't I?
I didn't live in Europe.
Traveled?
I've been to Europe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I went to college at Ball State when I was 18, and pretty much when I've been in school, that's been my only time living away from Gary, but I have traveled around building playgrounds, so I ran crews, and I've worked in 35 states building playgrounds in different communities all over.
So that gives you a good background on what might work in a community.
I mean, playgrounds are interesting. It's a lot like what I do now, where when you roll into a community and you start to build a playground, people start to gather, they start to look, they start to ask questions, there's an energy and excitement, and you know, you get a sense of a lot of the community relationships. So going around the country, I learned about the soil and different conditions, and there's just so much you learn that I learned about different places, I think, that was helpful for me, and that helped me really appreciate Northwest Indiana in a much different way as well. When I was at Ball State, later on, when I was trying to sort of figure out what I was going to make art about, you know, when you're in school, you have to make a show at the end.
Right.
You know, it's got to be sort of cohesive and... either way, you know, you try to sort of develop a style. It was a little bit hard for me, I think, for a long time. And I was making art with garbage a lot when I was an undergrad. And that felt right. And that's something I still do to this day. But the first successful print I made, which I think is in the Brower show, it's called A Line on the Line. Was representative of this region. It was sort of a simplistic representation of the lake and the industry and where it meets the Indiana Dunes. Really my work has taken that route since then. It was probably 2005 or so where I sort of figured out what I wanted to make art about.
You know, I think even back to building playgrounds, there's got to be a certain art in laying that out. I mean, it sounds like a very mechanical process, but, you know, approaching that could almost be like a three-dimensional sculpture that you place in a community.
Yeah, absolutely. As far as laying them out in the parks, it's always been fun to, work with principals and park directors and campground directors to sort of lay out the space. And it is playgrounds do have such a big footprint, and it's, you know, some of them are pretty massive, 100-foot-long,
right,
150-foot-long structures. There's something kind of empowering about building one and,
making it as safe as possible.
Absolutely. And, I have gone through all the certification for playground safety inspection. But that's kind of a different life.
I think about when I was a kid, I mean, I went to elementary school and I can't even remember where it was, but I mean, you'd have blacktop, and then you'd have just a bar construction that you climb on, and if you fell, you fell right on the blacktop.
Right.
And then we would go inside after playing, and our hands would be all orange from the steel, and they would smell like metal.
Metal, right.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that's not good for you. These days, we live in such a litigious society, and Yeah, so I've, you know.
It was a different ballgame back then.
Yeah, right. I wish we
were. We were tougher going. Back then, yeah. too, yeah. I think. So we bounced.
So what is it that informs, and this is like probably for both of you, what informs your next body of work? Like, is there, like, do you actively think about it, or is it like, oh, wow, this is the direction I want to go in?
My next, I don't consider it in bodies of work, I don't think. I mean, it, in that regard, I would say the body of work that I've been working on, these prints, which are pretty cohesive going back to 2005, I don't know if I'll ever finish that body of work. Sometimes there's maybe two or three prints that sort of go together that could be smaller bodies of work.
Like you talked about, okay, you've got the printmaking, but then you take the, you know, all the different found objects and do something. So is there a flow like, oh gosh, I've done, you know, I'm kind of exhausted on printing right now. I'm going to go to this. Is there like a pattern to it, or
it sort of all happens at once? I think right now the work that I'm doing that I'm spending most of my time on, which would be the Acropolis, the community gardening stuff, it's out of necessity. It's, you know, I feel we're at a very dire moment in history where we're, you know, we're looking down the barrel of climate change. We have, you know, a huge health crisis in our country, which reflects not only our healthcare system, but the food that we eat. So, you know, this work is created out of sheer necessity and to solve problems that I can't ignore, you know, so often. And this is why the show is titled No Beauty in This. So often art acts as a distraction and allows us to ignore some of the worst things that are happening. And, you know, I think that can be dangerous. I think art is really important because it can uplift us and it can inspire us. But it can also give us a sense that things are better than they really are. So when you walk through my show at the Brower, I want people to see, you know, I've created some works that are trees. Trees are the most beautiful thing I know of. You know, they keep us alive. They sustain us. So there's some prints that are, you know, a sort of idyllic depictions of trees, but they stand next to sort of very stark garbage sculptures. I want them to be seen together. I don't want people to find the beautiful moments without recognizing them next to the more honest pieces of art that talk about, you know, that talk about environmental destruction or climate change or what we're doing to the earth. So I think, I don't know if this answers your question, but it all goes together, yeah, for me.
Yeah, completely. I know I'm so involved with the community that my own art is very isolating because it's like I'm very focused on it. And you're right, I can take myself out for years really without looking at anything. But when I'm working so deeply in the community now, that suffers, you know, not suffers because it's always like, it's always around you, but I can't physically do it because there's so many other.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You're listening to Art on the Air, and our guests today are Greg Herslieb and Corey Hagelberg. And again, you can also stream us on WVLP.org, and we're on WIUN. This program will be repeated on Monday at 5 p.m. So I think what we'll move on to next is actually the exhibit. We talked a little bit about that, and let's see how we got the two of you together. Obviously, you have connections from before. So, you know, what was that process like? And first, you know, deciding on having Corey for a show
and putting him together.
Together. You know, just like our theme song, you know, putting it together, you know, from Sunday in the Park with George.
Yeah, I actually saw that. It was a really nice play, too. I thought that was really that's the play you're talking about.
Right,
yeah,
the musical, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would like that a lot.
I saw that, too.
Well, couple things. And I saw it at the Goodman Theater when it was connected to the Art Institute.
Right.
Oh, I saw it at the Shakespeare Theater.
I know.
Ew. Chicago Shakespeare.
Yeah. Things change over time, you know. But a couple things I wanted to mention. First of all, Corey, at the beginning of the show, mentioned that he was born in 1983. That's the year I graduated from high school. So it's an interesting reality.
I graduated in 73, so I mean, you know.
But another thing I want to mention, too, is Esther's earlier question about influence and that sort of thing. Honestly, for me, because it all kind of ties together, to speak to the current question, you pick up influence or inspiration wherever you find it.
Wherever.
And one of the things that's been kind of percolating in my mind lately is in Corey's show, there are his woodcuts that I'm familiar with. But, I mean, you know, you take things away and certain things kind of nag or stay with you. And I'm just thinking about these dune shapes that Corey has going. But then also, more so than that, and I don't know how I'm going to deal with it or work with it, but his sculptures on display have this kind of Egyptian thing going on. And I'm not even sure what that is. It's kind of and we have a sculpture in the show from Permanent Collection that reflects that same sort of idea. And it's nice to see them. You can look into one room and see the other. So, I mean, to be influenced by other artists, I guess is what I'm saying.
Well, I know just your pieces at the Blink, that you were inspired by the Japanese collection.
Right. And that's, that comes pieces. In a large part from getting this huge donation to the museum. Mm-hmm. So stuff comes through, sure. And it lodges in your consciousness. But the other thing, too, that I think about in terms of this Egyptian sort of thing going on is that famous Shelley poem, Ozymandias, mm-hmm. You know, where he's saying, I'm Ozymandias, king of kings, look at my work, and it's just nothing. Yeah. And that's kind of your message a little bit. I mean, you know, these human efforts to, I mean, what's it going to come to? You're basically going to ruin the environment, and the environment's going to have to rebound somehow.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, these little things, they lodge in your mind, and you learn things, and they reflect in your own art.
That's true.
You know, pretty cool.
Yeah. And just to depart just a minute from Corey, you also have Robert Lenthine's work, which is very abstract.
Right.
I always see every day he posts a flash drawing on Facebook and on LinkedIn. So describe how that kind of connects, or not necessarily connects, goes along with the same exhibit. I mean, it's a separate exhibit.
Well, but in the summertime, you're looking for regional opportunities. It seems like during the school year, it's more tied to coursework and things.
Right.
And so in the summer, have an opportunity to reach out and interact. And with Brabant, I mean, for so long, I'd admired his work, and it just was a slot that fit. And really the same thing with Corey. As long as time, it's when are we going to have a show? When are we going to have a show? We've got an opportunity. Let's have a show, you know, and just went with it. And these things, they turn out really nicely. I mean, all of a sudden you discover rhymes, or you discover connections and opportunities, and it works out. You know, and it seems like it was all planned, when in fact it really wasn't.
It's kind of serendipity, yeah.
There you go.
Well, just as a side note then, if an artist eventually would like to exhibit, like especially in the summer slot,
right.
What's the process there?
Yeah, well, it's basically just kind of keep in touch. We don't have any kind of formal, it's one of those things where we don't have a formal process, because everything happens so organically that it's really kind of hard to plan for it. I mean, you know.
It is. I'm like a very flexible 2 to 3 years, but I get a call like 2 weeks before the show, I'm sick, I can't do this show,
right.
whatever. And then you just have to
just
take a breath and do it.
Exactly.
So,
just to keep the lines of communication open, to contact me if there's a show possibility, we can figure out a review approach and go from there.
And give us your contact information just in case.
Well, it would be name, so Greg, Gregg, dot Hertzlieb, Hertzlieb, at valpo.edu. And that's my email address, and I'm always checking the email. I mean, you know, as we're talking right now, I'm reaching over and checking the email.
But so if you want to do it right now, he's looking at it, folks.
Yeah.
So artists, get on the email.
And you say, you know, like, I've been working on this series, and what do you think of it, and any opportunities? And like, although, you know, like Ruth was saying, or Esther was saying, booked out in advance, still there are opportunities that arise.
Sure. Good,
there
good. So, Corey, tell us a little bit. We talked a little bit about the show. What do you have coming in your future? Or are you going to be serendipity? Kind of like any project you're looking forward to doing?
Let's see. So throughout the summer, it's going to be really continuing on creating community gardens throughout Gary.
Okay.
We've created partnerships with a couple of churches. We're starting a tool library where people that want to start their own gardens and urban farms in Gary can actually borrow tools. So that's really a huge thing for me. We do have a show at my house, which is connected to the Calumet Artist Residency space. And you can find information about this on Facebook at Calumet
Artist. Make sure you use Facebook address. Do you have a website also for that?
We do, calumetresidency.com. And so that's coming up on June 28th. Musician by the name of Dan Stewart is going to be playing with a couple other musicians, Janet Beveridge Bean and Rick Rizzo. So they're really great. And we've got a couple other artist residencies that we'll be doing throughout the summer. I have a show when the Brower Show comes down. I'll have a show in Chicago at the Uri Eichen Gallery,
okay,
which is on Halsted in Chicago.
Sounds good.
I've been too busy, and actually right after this I'm going on vacation. So
going to Pittsburgh.
I'm going to Pittsburgh. So I'm going to go to Falling Water and visit some friends in Braddock, Pennsylvania, which is a thriving arts community.
So you might come back with some new inspiration from there too.
Absolutely. Sure. Absolutely. And it's a place that's inspired me actually throughout the years. So I'm looking forward to it.
So have you brought the gardening into the schools, like into the elementary
Absolutely.
Schools?
Absolutely. Yeah. The one group that we're working with very closely, we're actually working with a homeschool group as well. And they've been, a major part of getting this garden going at St. John's in Gary. We have relationships with a number of different schools. Steel City Academy is a school that we've worked with closely. We haven't necessarily been able to do a garden there because they might be moving, but they get out into some of the other community gardens throughout the city. So we do a lot with youth of all different kinds of programming. A lot with the Douglas Center, which is the National Park Center across the street from us.
The 61st National Park.
Right. And we try to do a lot of events and really get out throughout the community.
Well, we're getting toward the end of the show here, but first of all, Greg, what do we have coming up after Corey's and Bradburn's show?
Now, coming up on, is it July 11th?
July 10th, I think.
July 10th, I have it here. Oh, you mean his gallery talk.
Right. Yeah, gallery talk.
That's at 7 p.m.
Yeah, now, with the summer shows this time, we didn't do an opening reception because right when the shows went up, when school was ending.
Sure.
And so we had to deal with getting the student show art to the students and then putting up the shows. So we treat this July 10th event as kind of like a Gaylar celebration, an opportunity to talk about the work as well as just celebrate its being there. So that's the only event we have planned for the summer. But we're open throughout the summer, every day except for Monday from noon to 5. Okay. And we're free and open to the public.
Fantastic. And Corey, we have about a minute here to wrap up. And you talked a little bit about what you're doing as far as exhibits. Anything else going on for you? Besides playgrounds.
Yeah, I will be building some playgrounds this summer too. I'm just trying to... the printmaking stuff sort of comes and goes, and Greg knows that when I'm lucky, I do get to spend time doing printmaking. So hoping, especially with this next week, I'll get to really bear down and kind of get back into that mode and maybe start to generate some new prints.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, I think we've had a wonderful show here.
It's been an excellent show.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Art in the Air. I would like to thank our guests today, Greg Hertzlieb, Corey Hegelberg. And again, you can see the exhibit there. He'll be giving a gallery talk on July 10th at 7 p.m., and the exhibit's running through August 4th. Art in the Air is heard on Fridays at 11 a.m., rebroadcast on Monday at 5 p.m. Our hosts, Larry Breckner and Esther Golden. Again, always like to thank Greg Kovach for helping us out here as station manager.
Thank you, Greg.
If you're interested in being a guest or send us information about your arts, arts-related event, or whatever, it's at artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. Again, that's artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. You can hear rebroadcasts of the show also in our show archive at Breck. That's BRECH.com/AOTA. Next week, we have Billy and Renee Foster. Billy Foster, wow, a well-known jazz musician from the area, actually taught at Valpo University. He's currently at IUN. So that's what our guest is next week. So we hope to see you here right next week, 103.1 FM, Art on the Air.
Aloha, everyone.
Ounce by ounce, putting it together. Small amounts, adding up to make a work of art. First of all, you need a good foundation. Otherwise, it's risky from the start. Takes a lot of earnest conversation.
But without the proper preparation,
having just the vision's no solution.
Everything depends on execution.
The art of making art is putting it together.
Bit by bit.
By note, working on projection. Lips, teeth, throat, looking for a moment to inhale. Keeping the emotional connection, even when your fellow actors fail.
Pointing up the subtext by inflection.
Helping a director reach perfection.
Even though you have a strong objection to the way she's handling the direction.
Art isn't easy. Every minor detail is a major decision. Have to keep things in scale. Have to hold to your vision.
Even when you're feeling apprehensive, that you're looking bland and inoffensive.
And you wish your wardrobe was extensive.
Don't forget that spangles are expensive.